Catholic Vitamins, voted most spiritual podcast in 2011. Today's vitamin, D for devotion.
Or D for Dolores. Sorry, go ahead.
D for devotion.
Okay.
With our guest, Matthew Bouty. Episode 119.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
We are back, folks. Welcome to Catholic Vitamin D for devotion, as you heard.
Truly back. Back off the road again.
Yeah, we are. We were in Missouri the last time we did a podcast. We were able to get that accomplished, what, just a day late or so. And then we drove 750 miles or something like that and came back. We were blessed with really good weather, good driving weather, which has not always been the case on our trips out to the Midwest. We got to see some soccer, Holden playing soccer, our grandson. We got to see some cheerleading.
I got to see our six-year-old do cheerleading. Can you believe these little girls cheerleading at these little kids' basketball games?
We've got spirit. How about you? You remember her doing
this? Yes.
She's so cute. Sticking her little pom-poms up in the air. Well, this is Catholic Vitamin D, but we start with Vitamin P, which is Prattle. And that's what we're doing now. What else is new, Miss D?
Well, the big new is when we got back from our trip, we adopted
a new child.
Another child.
Yes, we did.
A four-legged child.
His name is Bandit. He's here just 2 or 3 feet away from us, 3 feet away from us. He's on an easy chair. He's a male six-year-old, we think, miniature schnauzer. He's a sort of rescue adoptee.
A lady from our old neighborhood just couldn't take care of him anymore. And we just didn't want to see him end up going back to the pound or anything. So,
right. So we adopted him. And
so he's laying here beside our other schnauzer,
Holly, who's been with us for 13 years. A Bandit is a little bit of a work of mercy in another way. He is a diabetic dog, and we have to give him insulin shots twice a day. He's had
some kidney stones.
Kidney stones, which had to be operated on, and then some additional work, and he's on a special diet, so we've got our hands sort of full.
Luckily, the lady used the same veterinarian that we do, and we have this wonderful young lady, Danielle, who works at our vet's office. And she has helped us out an awful lot.
She really has. So our family is now four under one roof. We had four before, but they've all fled the coop and are living their own lives. So we're glad you're with us. Indeed, this is a show I have really been waiting for. We were talking before we started recording about the correct pronunciation for our guest. And I'm sure he's heard Matthew Bouty. Matthew Bouty, or any number of varieties. But I think the correct pronunciation is Matthew Bouty.
I hope I said it right.
I think he responded to that when we spent time on the telephone. And Matthew has some of the most wonderful music. It's just great. And he is an inspiring person to interview and to listen to about the subject of devotion and about living out our faith life. We're happy to be Catholic. We're happy to be a happily married couple, happily most of the time. And we are...
What?
Well, we were just bickering before we started the show. A couple of our people that listen to us call us the Bickersons. And we are really proud of our faith, and we love to practice it. And Matthew Bouty is a great guest to have on the show. So, without further ado, let's move on to our next segment.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. Teach me, Lord, your ways. Isn't that what the new evangelist wants? He wants to be taught directly by the Lord so that he can repeat what the Lord says. For if we are called to proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, we want to know his thoughts. We want to know his heart. Teach me your paths, says the psalm. And what are the paths of the Lord? What are the ruts of the Lord that he travels upon constantly? How can we get out of our own ruts and be put into his ruts? For he shows sinners the way, and aren't we the sinners? See, the world is passing away, and the time of fulfillment is coming. Jesus says, come after me, leave your nets, in other words, your old ways behind, and come and see my new way. The new way is Jesus Christ. So let's announce the message that he has, or that he is, and let us do what is according to his bidding. When Jonah heard that, he was sent to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. The whale swallowed him. The whale spit him out. He went. And he went and he preached. He says, 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. With bold faith, he proclaimed it. And the people responded and God responded. And God relented. He did not allow the danger to come to them. And those 40 days were a symbol, I think, of the 40 days of Lent that we are about to embark upon. They're coming up pretty soon. There's some great guidance for us from saints like St. Thomas Aquinas of how to prepare for Lent. If you want to find out more about that, send me an email at justin.stroh@gmail.com. I'll send you a link to a great book. And we are called to really reform our ways, leave our old ruts behind, and enter into the path of the Lord. And that's what Lent is. It is his way, his path, his truth, leading into the season of Easter, his life.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Justin is always an inspiring contributor to Catholic Vitamins.
And he's talking about Lent already?
Well, you know, the gospel for this weekend, Dee, I proclaimed it at our vigil mass this evening, Saturday evening, has the words of Christ, repent. And that's the best way to start preparing for Lent, to concentrate on repentance in our lives and conversion. Thank you, Justin. I have a wonderful email from Richard Kruger. We've had it in hand for a while. Because of our travels, we didn't get to read this, but we said last week we wanted to share this, and it's very long, so I'll take some parts of it. Hi, Deacon Tom and Dee. Congratulations on becoming part of the SQPN network. If it were not for Captain Jeff, the Catholic pilot, I would not have found your podcast back in 2010 as I began my faith journey to the Catholic Church. You may remember back in the fall of 2010, I wrote to you regarding my calling to the Catholic faith and why I was questioning my Lutheran faith at that point in time in my life. Since that email, I continue to be a faithful listener of Catholic Vitamins, have read several books on the Catholic faith, found a great parish to attend Mass, and in the spring of 2011 started the inquiry process, which we call RCIA. I'm proud and excited to tell you that I participated in the Rite of Welcome in September of 2010, and on January 15th of this year, which has just passed, I will be confirmed and brought into full communion with the Catholic Church. My journey has been exciting, reflecting, and joyful, and I have learned the faith and through my journey have brought a couple of my Catholic friends back to the Church and have inspired two other friends to begin their journey to join the Catholic Church. My journey will continue as I've also requested to remain part of the faith formation team at the parish I will be attending, and I look forward to continuing my study of the Catholic faith. Now, there is more to that. We're just so honored and joyful. We received a follow-up which says, Hi, Deacon Tom and Dee. My guess for vitamin C was correct. Now I have to go to reconciliation for being wrong and telling you that I was not a good person at Vita Scrabble. My guess for vitamin D is devotion. My confirmation, First Holy Communion Mass, was very special and was shared with several friends and co-workers. Words cannot even begin to express the joy I felt at having the Eucharist for the first time. And he attached two pictures, one with his sponsor and one with other people that came into the church. So we are just so proud and pleased that you've done this, Richard. We're happy for you spiritually. We will remember you in our prayers, and we thank you for sharing this journey with us. Dear, did you have something else?
No, I was just reading along with you over your shoulder.
Yeah, so great, so great. Well, speaking of so great, here's our first music from our guest who will be coming up in a little while, Matthew Bowdy.
In the shadow of death, in the grip of fear from the start, with Adam's fall, slaves of sin, a long trail of tears, but a promise of old would not be denied. Blessed be the Lord, you've come to sanctify the light from on high. Has dawned so bright, the light.
Catholic Vitamins. We are so blessed, so happy, joyous to greet and welcome Matthew Bowdy to Catholic Vitamins. Matthew, I could sink into your music for hours. We could do, instead of an hour-long show, we could do 2 or 3 hours. And I can't think of anybody that I'd rather have on the show as a guest for our topic of devotion. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Deacon. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for your kind words.
Well, you know, every show, I say this often, every show brings with it new people, new subscribers, and people who may not be familiar with your work. Before we get into the beautiful work that you bring to Catholic devotion, tell us about young Matthew when you were growing up.
Well, I grew up in the South, in Louisiana, about half an hour north of New Orleans. So I'm a Southern boy. I went to Catholic grade school, Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church school there, and journeyed upriver after high school at a Christian Brothers High School, St. Paul's in Covington, journeyed upriver to St. Louis to study at St. Louis University. And I had a great experience there, even though I was doing lots of other things other than studying, but I was able to do enough of that to graduate. But I would say probably towards the end of my college career, I remember my mother gave me a book by Thomas Merton that really opened a whole new doorway, I guess you could say, into a deeper spiritual life. I mean, I'd always been Catholic, and we always went to church every Sunday, but I'd say that, like many other Catholic families, we were pretty much immersed in a culture as well, with a lot of TV, movies, sports, etc. But my parents really laid a good foundation for our faith, my sister and myself. But then as my mom was reading a lot of Thomas Merton, and she shared that, one of his books with me called No Man is an Island. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, that just opened up a whole new world for me. And so towards the end of my college days, I was reading Merton and other books like The Cloud of Unknowing, and just realizing that, you know, there's this depth to which God calls each of us to go in the spiritual life. And it's up to us how much we want to jump in, how deep we want to swim. But I'm so grateful for that invitation calling me at that time to go deeper. So I'd say that's really where a lot of this, I guess, my devotional life started.
If I may just cut in with a side note on this, my wife and I have a great devotion to Catherine Doherty and to Madonna House. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but
I'm not.
Catherine Doherty originally started her ministry to the poor and to those who needed someone to listen to them in New York, in Harlem, and she started Friendship Houses, what were called Friendship Houses. And she's a very holy woman. She's now being looked at by the church for sainthood. She started Madonna House up in Canada. But why I wanted to interject about her is that one of the visitors that came to Friendship House was Thomas Merton, and he gave her a draft of the 12-story mountain.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I have written this. It's about my journey. And he said, I'm not really sure what I want to do with it. If you think you could make it into a book and sell it, I'd be happy to give it to you. It happens that they didn't do that, and he later published the book himself. But he and Catherine Doherty remained great friends and a great spiritual people of insight and leadership for the time that they were alive. Well,
that's a beautiful story. I think it points to the fact that there is so much more to this life that God calls us, that God invites us gently, little moments during our lives, and then once that relationship is going, is active, that there is that relationship between the soul and God, then that naturally overflows into whether it's writing, like Thomas Merton had a very special gift, or Catherine Doherty and her outreach. You know, as a layperson, founding these different houses, we're all called to that in some different way. And it might be very small. It might be a bigger thing that's more noticeable. But all I can say to your listeners is that for me, that happens to be music, the way that God has asked me to share my gift through music. And there's no greater joy that you will find when you give that yes to the Lord, and you allow him to work through you, through the gifts he's already placed in you long ago. But then once you turn it over to him and say, yes, Lord, use me however you wish, then there's just such deep joy, even in the midst of suffering or struggles or setbacks, in knowing that you've given God your yes, and in trying to be faithful to him. Like Mother Teresa said, not successful, but faithful. So he certainly blessed me to experience some of that joy in my life.
In a moment or two, we'll get into your music a little more. You are married, and you have a new arrival in the family. Can you tell us about your marriage?
I'd be happy to. I married Leah about a year and a half ago. We actually met at a healing retreat where I was singing probably about 5 years ago in tiny little Vandalia, Illinois. It's an out-of-the-way place, probably about an hour east of St. Louis. Beautiful healing ministry. These two lay women founded this about 15 years ago. And these wonderful priests come from all over the country to be retreat masters. And I've had the privilege of singing there with Annie Carto, another wonderful Catholic musician who invited me to help her out there 5 or 6 years ago. And again, there's another example, like we were talking, you mentioned Catherine Doherty, but here's two other laywomen just in their parish who didn't feel like there was much going on, that the parish wasn't really alive with the Holy Spirit. And they went to a conference, maybe in Chicago, and decided to come back, and they didn't know anything about putting on a conference, but they tried it, they did it, and 1,000 people came.
Wow.
15 years later, there's just abundant spiritual fruit being born. People are coming and experience emotional healing, spiritual healing. And Leah, who's from Wisconsin, she had discerned with the Missionaries of Charity for 3 years, so she went to India and spent time there and came back and joined in the Bronx and spent a year in the novitiate in Mexico City and San Francisco, but knew after those 3 years that her vocation was to marriage and family life. And so she had come down seeking some healing from Wisconsin, and we really didn't talk the first couple of years, didn't actually meet. But just a couple of years ago, we noticed each other and realized that we had similar journeys. I had discerned with the Trappists for a very brief time, but had really felt called also to marriage and family life. And we're still very blessed, and God has now blessed us in our marriage with a son who was born on October 16th, Gregory William. And you know, life has changed very much in the past 2 months, but in a beautiful, wonderful way. We're filled with joy. Every morning we pray Mother Teresa's prayer for the family, and it just says, Heavenly Father, may our home be another Nazareth, like the home in which the Holy Family lived, where love, peace, and joy reign. May it be deeply Eucharistic, intensely contemplative, and vibrant with love. And so our hearts were overflowing with this great gift. So I like to have been telling people that our Christmas gift came 2 months early.
Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. We started our show with one of your songs. Let's see. The Light from on High, from your album Hold Me, Lord. And your music is music that many of us would describe as music that you can sink into the arms of the Lord in. I saw someplace that you compose and sing music that helps people to pray, and most certainly you do that. Our topic on this show is devotion, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'd like to ask your permission to play your song In the Silence and have you tell us a little bit about the writing of that or what was on your mind when you wrote In the Silence.
Sure. Well, it's a perfect song for this topic of devotion. I guess the main thought there is that we have to give God the time Just like in any other relationship, if we wanted to grow deeper, we have to spend time with the other person. It's the same thing with God. And so the song just basically says, you know, each of us is hungering for this relationship, for this love, and many of us don't know where to find it, or don't know whose name it is. You know, maybe not even Christian, but even many Catholics, you know, we're faithful, we go to Mass on Sunday, but there's something still, you know, I'm called to something deeper. And so, you know, the best advice that I can give that my spiritual director has given me is just spend more time in the Adoration Chapel, spend more time in your little corner, you know, your prayer corner in your house, if you can carve out a little space to make it sacred in your own house. Maybe put a candle there and commit to spending maybe just 20 minutes in the early morning. But we've got to give that time. And then when we do give God our hearts, and it's important to quiet ourselves and let the Lord speak. Too often it's, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. And it needs to be, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And just,
Amen.
And that can be through Scripture. And then he will guide us, and that relationship will grow. And so that's what this song tries to convey.
Is that from the album Love Wins All?
That's right. That's from my first album, Love Wins All.
All right. Let's pause and listen to Matthew Bowdy, In the Silence.
Each of us searching for something, not knowing quite what it is, yet our hearts will continue to burn and will not rest till they find what they're looking for. We search for meaning, we look for happiness. We will find these things when we surrender. Is in need of something crucial deep within, and we wonder when we'll ever find this puzzle piece that's been missing for so long. We hope for healing, we long to be complete. We will find these things when we surrender, and in the silence find the Lord of love. And the greatest mystery of all, there's a love so deep, whispering in our hearts. It is waiting to share a life of fullness, mercy and peace. If we will quiet our hearts and be still in the silence,
in
in the silence, find the Lord of love. In the silence, find the Lord of love.
That beautiful reflection, that beautiful invitation to relationship with the Lord is by Matthew Bowdy, and it was called In the Silence, a favorite of mine from many that I have purchased and downloaded from Matthew's work, and there is a lot of work. Tell us about your albums.
Sure. Right now I have four. The latest is an instrumental one. I wanted to do something completely without words, and I like to tell people that if you're sleepy at night driving on the highway, don't put that on. That's not because it might put you to sleep. But the idea is just to help people calm themselves, so maybe they can enter that place of prayer. The first one was called Love Wins All, and you just played a track from that, In the Silence. It was released in 2004, and I was doing a lot of music ministry with youth at the time, and so it's got a more of a full band sound, I would say, but still some gentler songs like the one we just heard. My second album was called Hold Me, Lord. Again, the first track that you heard, The Light From On High. I would say that album reflects my own increased devotion to Eucharistic adoration. I began singing for a lot of holy hours during that time around 2006. And, for example, the title track, Hold Me, Lord, I had a friend that said, please, could you write a song that expresses when I go before the Blessed Sacrament and the Lord, I feel, just wraps me in his arms and comforts me, and I don't need to say anything. It's kind of like when a child is hurt, falls down, scrapes his knee, her knee, the mom comes running out and grabs the child and just picks him or her up and rocks him back and forth, and the parent doesn't even have to say anything. So that's what that song is about. And then the third album, a couple of years later, this was released in 2008, I believe. I had the privilege of recording with a Grammy-nominated producer out in California, Warren Kahn, who's also done most of Michael John Poirier's records, who I'm a big fan of, and he's been a wonderful mentor to me as a wonderful Catholic man, but also musician, songwriter, person who's doing ministry full time. And so that is the latest project that has words, and again, it's all original, inspirational, devotional music that again, like you had said up front, and I just hope it helps people to pray. I hope people can put my music on, and I hope it's one little way that helps them connect in a deeper way with God.
Amen. I have written a note to myself that your songs speak, I would think, often to the lonely heart, to the searching heart, searching soul, or to someone who's ready to surrender and sink into the arms of the Lord. What a great gift you've been given to touch many with these songs, with these words that you've come up with. And I'm just such a great fan. It's a joy to be able to speak with you like this.
Thank you, Deacon. That's really kind of you. Like I said, it's whenever we discover what our gift is, and so many different gifts the Lord's given us. Then, like I said, for me to sing and make music like this is deeply joyful for me. But it's, and then you look on the other side and people are being touched and moved, and brought closer to God. And that's the same with any gifts that are out there that are waiting to be discovered. I like to tell teens when I talk to young people, that we have a purpose that no one else can fulfill. And again, back to our topic of devotion and prayer and spending time with God, that's the best way that we're going to discover what God wants us to do with our life. And it's one of your other recent guests, Danielle Rose, wrote a song about Mother Teresa, had said, you know, make my life something beautiful for God. And that really has stuck with me. That I pray that for you and for each of your listeners who are listening to this, that we can continue more deeply to discover our purpose, our gifts, and so that what we offer to God at the very end of our lives will be something beautiful.
Matthew, you've mentioned morning prayer that you start with. You mentioned adoration. My wife and I do evening prayer together just about every evening. It's very rare that we miss prayer together. Do you have any other forms of devotion or anything else that you'd like to mention from your own faith walk?
I would say Liturgy of the Hours as well. Leah was in the convent 3 years, and I learned from a friend who had been in seminary about 10 years ago how to pray the breviary. So that's one of the first things that we did together when we began dating, was just to pray night prayer over the phone together. And that was a tremendous blessing for our marriage to begin that way. So we as well, although it's, of course, our schedule's been thrown off significantly since the arrival of Gregory, but in the past couple of weeks, we're kind of getting back into a routine of praying morning prayer and trying to pray evening prayer as well. I think also the daily rosary is a great blessing. And what I would say and encourage people to do is just to be faithful to it. Be faithful to that 20-minute morning time with the Lord. And don't judge the time based on how you feel about it. Sometimes you'll feel wonderful that it was tremendous. You receive consolations. But we shouldn't be seeking just the consolations themselves. We should be seeking the Lord. And a lot of the fruit of our prayer, of our time, of our faithfulness, will not necessarily be felt, but it will be noticed even more so by others. Like, you know, what's different about you the past few months? There's something deeper. There's something I notice you're smiling more. And again, what a great gift that is, that we're giving this gift of our faithfulness, of our prayer time. You know, it can be a sacrifice for others so that we will be more enjoyable to be around, and so that we're helping others learn how to come closer to the Lord too.
What do you have for?
I would say,
I'm sorry.
One more thing. I have another prayer that I pray every morning. So this is an important part of my devotional life, and now I pray it together with Leah, with my wife. But it's really that prayer to ask the Lord to show me day by day how He wants to use me during that day, and that I may be faithful. So if I could, I'd just like to pray it and offer it for your listeners. And there's this one section in the middle which everyone can tailor to their own vocation, to their own unique gifts, calling. And what I say is, well, you'll notice the line in the very middle, but with your permission, I'd like to offer this
please,
little prayer.
Please.
Lord, You have given each of us special gifts and talents to serve our brothers and sisters. May the ministry You have entrusted to us grow into a beautiful work, pleasing in Your sight. May all that we say and do be an outpouring of Your love. Bless every person to whom we have the privilege of ministering. And here's a line which everyone can adapt and make their own. Sing through us, speak through us, teach through us, heal through us. Use us however You wish. Deliver us from all anxiety, purify our motives. Grant in us only the desire to love. Amen.
Amen. Oh, how beautiful. I hope I can incorporate those words into my prayer life as well, or our prayer life as well.
Well, I will email them to you, so you can maybe put them up on your page.
Yes, speaking of that, we do our blog page associated with each show, and we'll put contact information for you on that page. but we'll also put that prayer, if you'd be kind enough to email that to me.
I'm happy to.
Do you have any appearances coming up that you'd like to mention?
Well, I'm doing a lot less traveling now as our family has begun, and that's just fine with me. But here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis, we have the annual St. Louis Marian Conference. That's going to be in downtown St. Louis. I'm going to be helping to provide music for all the liturgies, including the opening mass with our Archbishop Robert Carlson. So that's January 13th through the 15th. And again, I would encourage people to check out the website of this small, out-of-the-way healing retreat ministry that I mentioned. The name of the ministry is Our Sorrowful Mothers Ministry, and the website is osmm.org, osmm.org. There's a healing retreat just about every month, and they're pretty small. Usually have 20, 30, maybe 40 people. So there's daily mass, there's adoration, healing service, both Friday and Saturday evening, talks, time for confession, spiritual direction. Just a wonderful, wonderful retreat weekend. So we have one coming up that following week. The first one of the year will be January 20th through the 22nd. So those are two that I'd like to mention.
Wonderful. And given that you will be restricting your travels because of family considerations, are you interested in people outreach if they have a conference or a retreat or something going on at Chancery that they'd like to check your availability for?
Sure, I would be happy to speak with anyone. If it's the Lord's will for me to travel to go sing somewhere, then that's what I want to do. They can visit my website, which is www.songsforprayer.com. And there's some contact info. You can email me, listen to the music. I've also got a few prayer videos, which I'd like to share with other folks. That's all free, so please take a look.
Well, I could use a little bit of healing. You may have heard that I've been struggling with some seasonal allergy during our time together, but I just can't say how much your music has been a part of my own personal faith walk and journey, and how important it is that Catholic Vitamins listeners have gotten to know you a bit, and perhaps to purchase some of your music and to benefit from the prayer example that you are going to send to us and that you have witnessed to in your own life. Any closing thoughts on growing devotion in a faith walk?
No, I mean, Deacon Tom, thank you so much for your words. They encourage me in my own ministry. I guess the one thing that comes to mind is just perseverance and faithfulness in what the Lord has called each of us to do. And I know He's calling each of us to pray more because He loves us so much. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. And so many people are searching for that in the wrong places. And so may we each be given the grace from the Lord during this holy season of Christmas, His Nativity, to persevere and go deeper in this coming year.
All right, and we will close our show, end our show a little bit later with Matthew Bowdy's Purest Virgin Mary from his album River of Grace. Matthew Bowdy, thank you so much for being a guest on Catholic Vitamins.
Deacon Tom, it's been a pleasure. God bless you and your ministry and everyone that's been listening. God bless you.
As a young boy, I can vividly remember visiting my grandmother's farmhouse and always being drawn to a picture that hung behind the chair where she used to sit. It was a picture that portrayed a cold Christmas morning when the visiting priest had to find a suitable rock on which he could set up an altar and offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Around him gathered perhaps up to 20 local, rich, poor, adults, children, who knelt and bowed reverently on the snow-covered ground as the sacred host was raised aloft. Indeed, it was a most moving picture of sincere devotion. In contrast to the peaceful scene of prayer in the foreground, was the action presented in the background. Some lookouts had suddenly realized that a group of soldiers had discovered the whereabouts of the clandestine mass and were on their way to put a stop to it, and perhaps also to the lives of some of the faithful. These were the difficult days of religious persecution. It is an image that has remained with me throughout my life, and I constantly bring it forward in my mind to contemplate the wonderful courage demonstrated by priest and peasant alike, who risk their lives for the sake of the Mass. On another wall in the same farmhouse rested an imposing wooden-framed print of a sombre Pope Pius XI, with his hand raised in benediction, imparting an apostolic blessing to the faithful on the occasion of the 31st Eucharistic Congress, which took place in 1932 and was held in Dublin, Ireland. The faithful few who gathered about the mast rocks of Ireland had ensured that the faith of our fathers would live on. 1.25 million people gathered on the main street of Dublin City for the closing mass of the Congress, each and every one of them bearing testament to the brave souls and martyrs who risked it all and surrendered it all for the sake of their faith and devotion. It was an astounding sight, and one that reverberated around the Catholic world in newsreel after newsreel. 80 years later, and we find Ireland once again ready to host the 50th International Eucharistic Congress, which will take place in June in 2012. And as we look back, we can now see how times have changed. We will not be asked to come out clandestinely, nor will we be in danger of arrest or torture or death. Mass is offered openly and offered daily, and not in secret nor with any restrictions. We will gather freely and in peace. Many will be very aware that this time around there will be no scramble for space, nor danger of being trodden underfoot of the 1.25 million of 1932. Yet we will gather in number, and perhaps almost every nation of the world will be represented, each soul coming out of a profound personal dedication to the faith, and with the zeal to promote an awareness of the central place of the Eucharist in the life and the mission of the Church. If history has taught us anything, it is not a lesson in numbers, but a singular lesson in the supernatural permanency of the Holy Mass and the constancy of devotion and faith. Thinking in particular of Irish history, we are reminded of the words of St. Paul in Romans, that for those who are devoted, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
I want to give special thanks to our guest, Matthew Bowdy, for sharing his time, talent, music. We'll close the end of the show with Purest Virgin Mary from his 2008 album. And we'll give you a link in our show notes to his website, to his music, and to the healing ministry that he talked about. We'll also put a copy of the prayer that he and his wife Leah say each day, so beautiful. And we want to also thank our friend from Ireland, Fergal O'Neill, for sharing some words on devotion and about the history of the International Eucharistic Congress. He tells me that they're going to celebrate the 50th International Eucharistic Congress in June in Dublin. You know, I'm really torn. Dee and I have wanted to go to Ireland for years and years and years. My heritage is Irish-Canadian, and I would sure love to go back to Ireland. But I'm also one to go each summer to Franciscan University in June for the annual priest, deacon, and seminarian conference and retreat. And it holds a special place in my heart, and I'd like not to give that up. So, gosh, this is a real struggle. Thank you, Fergal, for your continuing reflections. Next up, we are blessed to have another missionary moment with Mariana Bartholomew.
As sweet as sugar cane, and I gave you my heart. You gave me yourself, a saucy bone.
Greetings, Dee and Deacon Tom and Catholic Vitamins listeners. This is Mariana Bartholomew, here with another Missionary Moments. In the late 1950s, Church Point, Louisiana wasn't on any map. It was home to Cajun families who had lived there for generations. Who would think that in December 1999, with the approach of the new millennium, when a local publication called Lifestyle Lafayette drew up its list of the top 10 most influential people of Acadiana, that a little girl who had grown up around the Church Point area would have made that list? 12-year-old Charlene Marie Richard. Charlene actually put Church Point on the map. And I love this story because she was such a normal little girl in so many ways. She was born second of 10 children, and she loved to horseback ride and play basketball and baseball. Like many children of the area, she learned her prayers in French. She and her brother loved to play Catholic Mass, where he would dress up as the priest. And she also had a little altar in her room that she decorated and had a little statue of the Blessed Mother in there and would put a fresh rose in the vase. So she was a devout little girl. Now when people look back, they can see that she had actually a lot of similarities with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And in fact, St. Thérèse was someone that Charlene really admired. St. Thérèse is patroness of missions. And of course, that French nun lived a very hidden life and did little things with a lot of love. That was her focus, to do little things for God. And that's really what Charlene is all about. Her greatness came in such a hidden way that no one ever imagined that she would one day be thought by thousands of people as being a saint. She hasn't been declared a saint, but thousands of people travel to Charlene Richard's tomb, and that's how I first learned about this little Cajun saint. I was there on a journalism trip for Extension magazine, raising funds for the home missions. And Barbara Gutierrez, who worked for the Diocese of Lafayette's newspaper, toured me around and showed me the white tomb where this little girl was buried. And I just remember being so struck by how beautifully well-kept the cemetery was. And this little girl's tomb in particular was whitewashed, and many people had left flowers there, and there were rosaries and little notes. And I learned that people come from really all over the world with special petitions asking this little girl in heaven, who they believe she's in heaven, to join her prayers with theirs for special petitions. And there have been miracles associated with through these prayers. Now, at the end of her school year in 1959, Charlene started feeling not well. She was getting pains in her hips and her knees, and when she was taken in, she was diagnosed as having leukemia. It was such a shock to the whole family, but Charlene took the news very calmly. A newly ordained priest for the Diocese of Lafayette visited Charlene in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital almost daily, and he explained to the little girl how she could capture her suffering and offer it up as a prayer for the sake of others. And so when he would go into her hospital room to visit Charlene, she would say, "Okay, Father, who should I suffer for today?" She went through a lot of pain in those final 2 weeks of her illness. And I'm sure there were many frightening moments for her. She was ready to take on whatever she needed to take on and offer it up as a prayer. And through the years, the story was kept alive until now there's even a connection overseas. There are orphans in a mission in Thailand who know all about Charlene Richard. Now when volunteers go to help out at that Sarnelli Hospice Orphanage of Thailand, they stay in the Charlene Richard Mission House. Father Joseph Brennan is the priest who visited Charlene when she was ill, and he's written a book called My Name is Charlene. And Barbara Gutierrez has written a book, Charlene, the Little Cajun Saint. It's proved to be very popular and inspiring for people. So that's it for this missionary moment. I hope you've enjoyed learning about the Little Cajun Saint.
As sweet as sugar cane, and I give you my heart. As you give me yourself, a saucy bone, saucy bone. Crying the hurricane.
Thank you to our dear friend Mariana Bartholomew for her third contribution to Missionary Moments. Getting some background on places that Mariana has come to know as she visited so many places in the mission fields in the United States. We look forward to hearing more from Mariana as she's able. She's found on her own blog page at finerfields.blogspot.com. She's also a continuing writer for the Catholic News Agency's Catholic Women's blog, and so you might look to find her there. And in a little offline communication, she was telling me about some more news of Charlene Richard, the little Cajun saint. Apparently there was a woman who was healed of third stage cancer, and that woman has now become a wife and mother. So God is good. God is good. Well, I'm going to go off and see if I can find Dee and bring her back, and we'll do a couple more segments to wrap up the show. Well, I went off and got Dee, and she's back in the co-chair now. And that lovely music, that lively music we were listening to, dear, is provided by the group L'Angelus out of the Diocese of Lafayette. And we thank them for contributing to Catholic Vitamins and to the segments with the Mariana Bartholomew. We, in your absence, Dee, while you were busy up the hall, I got quite a bit done, but we have a little bit more to do. I think you've got some feedback there in your hand.
Yeah, I got something really nice I want to read here. This came from somebody named Rita, and I think this is the first time we've ever heard from her. And she was talking about the blessed straw that we talked about.
Oh, yes, yes.
On a previous podcast.
At Christmas in our parish, right?
Yes. And then doing it with our own nativity scene here at home with our grandchildren after Christmas. Well, she says, I'm a first-time listener, and your story about the bags of blessed straw reminded me of a practice my family has done each Advent since about 1973. Oh, my. An almost 40-year tradition. We keep a jar with a slot in the top in the area our manger is going to be. We had cut small strips of colorful construction paper and set them in a box or a bowl near the jar. All during Advent, as we did a good deed at home or anywhere, we put a slip in the jar. On Christmas Eve, we opened our jar and sprinkled our good deeds, so colorful, on our straw in the manger in anticipation of Jesus' birth. They were a constant reminder of our preparation, and they became our offering to him on Christmas. But as I have come to learn over the years, some of my 6 children say they are reminded of doing good when they see construction paper.
There you go. How's that? That's a beautiful little continuing benefit from that long-time tradition.
She finished up by saying, Christ just keeps on giving, and we can be Christ to all at any time. Isn't that a lovely story?
It is. All right. Well, recently we announced a new little segment for 2012. It's called Ask the Deacon. And we are soliciting from any of our listeners or any of your family members. If you have questions about faith practice, we would love to try to help as best we can. And I think Dee has something that we actually had from an earlier email.
Yeah, this came in a long time ago, but it's somebody wrote and asked you, I would like to prepare my daughter for her first confession and Holy Communion. There are a few reasons why I want to do this. What should I do about this decision with regard to our pastor or the CCD office?
Okay, so behind the question is, can a parent prepare their own child for reception of the first sacraments, confession and Holy Communion? Well, parents may need the permission of the priest for the actual reception of First Communion, but their children do not need to take part in parish CCD program. I want to be careful about that, but let you know that canon law says that the parish priest has a greater responsibility, but only for preventing a child who's improperly prepared from receiving first sacraments. But if a child is properly prepared at home, then the priest should gladly welcome the child into the reception of the first sacraments. So canon law allows and gives permission for the parents who have the first responsibility for education. And if there is a good and valid reason, then that parent should feel free. And it's a wonderful thing to have parents who work to prepare their children to understand things from what we would call the catechism, and then prepare their children for the sacraments. Dee, do you have some other feedback?
Yes, I wanted to say that you just recently put an article on the Catholic Mom website.
Right, one of my monthly reflections.
And you mentioned the St. Therese sacrifice beads.
Right.
And you offered to give send those out to anybody who might want them.
For people that read that article, there was a reason that I sort of got into the topic of the little way and sacrifice beads, yes.
And for anybody who wants to read that, wasn't it called Winter Dryness or something like that? Was
yeah,
that the title?
I think that was the title, yes.
Well, I mean, this is how new media works. You no sooner got that article published, and I think within the last few days we've had a dozen requests from all over the country in Canada for those beads.
Oh, wow.
We are going to be busy this week with mailing.
Okay, great.
I hope we have enough.
If you are a listener to Catholic Vitamins and did not know that Deacon Tom writes a monthly reflection along with a host of other wonderful contributors over at CatholicMom.com, we invite you to go over there. If you read the article, if you feel moved to apply for sacrifice beads, you can see a way to do that there. Thank you, Dee, for bringing that up. You have some more?
I do. Me too. We heard from Joanne Reed. We haven't heard from her in a while. Still loving your podcast, and she was taking a guess at the vitamin for this time. I have only guessed right in the summertime, so I've never received your often mentioned, quite tempting, sweet treats.
Oh, our Catholic vitamin sweet treats, uh-huh.
And then we heard from Jean Holman here in Arizona, and she sent in a guess also for this vitamin D. And, on a serious note, she would also like to request prayers for her young friend Amanda, whose cancer has spread, and she's dealing with the pain and trying to stay positive. This young lady is only 21 years old, and she's in the hospital, and they're trying some alternative treatments, so... All of you prayer warriors out there, join with us in praying for this young lady.
We've already added Amanda to our own prayer list, haven't we, Dee?
We have.
And you, when you were talking about Joanne Reed, I don't think you said that she guessed devotion. I think you said that she had sent in an answer. So
yeah, she did the correct guess, along with others. I also wanted to say that, speaking of prayers and prayer groups and prayer intentions, I belong to a little group of deacon wives on the internet.
Okay.
And it is we mostly do prayer intentions, you know, send prayer intentions out for us to all pray for, but they also do book discussions and things like that. But just recently I sent an email out to all of them in response to something, And I mentioned our podcast because I didn't figure that they would have known about it. And
right.
I've gotten a couple good comments back.
Well, great, great.
I'm doing my marketing part.
There you go, there you go. One of the things we talked about for 2012 was trying to get the word out. We're not trying to make any money or raise money, but we are trying to get the word out. And if you're a listener to Catholic Vitamins, we would appreciate your helping to spread the word.
And since you've already had Virgil's segment on, I just wanted to say that he sent us an email and said that they have a provisional date for ordination for the permanent diaconate set for June 2013. Not an actual date, but just the month and date. And his admission to candidacy was a beautiful event, he said. So we will keep praying for him as he goes on this journey to become a deacon.
Virgil, we are praying for you, we promise. Dee, do we have a basket with some names in it over there?
We do.
All right. Well, let's see what we're going to do about a winner. We had a lot of guesses for devotion, this Catholic vitamin D, which Matthew Bouty helped us listen to, look at so wonderfully. And so let's reach
in. Are you going to pick it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll just reach up into Dee's wicker basket and pull out a name. We were just
Joanne.
Okay. Well, it's wintertime, Joanne, and looks like
you're gonna get a sweet treat.
Yeah.
And honest, we did not do that on purpose.
Nope.
We had many names in the basket.
The basket was held far above my head. I was almost gonna say, Dee, what are you doing? All right. And we have a Vita
Scrabble. I like it when it works out that way.
We have a Vita Scrabble.
Oh, I lost my paper. Oh, here we go. Next vitamin. Vitamin E. Ends in S, 9 letters. This is going to be a hard one.
All right, this is kind of an unusual word. It starts with E, Catholic vitamin E. It ends in S. It has 9 letters, and we will double up our prize handouts for anybody that might happen to guess this word. We have a great guest who will help us look at this vitamin. And, dear, if you're about ready, I'm ready for your vitamin.
Mm-hmm. Vitamin as we go out. This is Catherine Doherty, foundress of Madonna House, in words that she put in a letter to her staff one time. If you cross the threshold of pain and faith, you will know peace and joy beyond the reckoning of man. Let us help one another to do this.
Well, that's a thing to take to devotion for sure. Well, dear, I think we have put a lot into this show. We are looking forward to next week with the special guest that we have on for vitamin E. But we're so grateful, so very grateful to Matthew Bouty for coming on the show, and to Mariana and Fergal and everyone, you know, Justin. We didn't have Teresa Doyle Nelson this week, but I think she'll be on next week. So we're really enjoying our work. Do we have anything else to cover?
I think that's about it. Oh, I was going to say, last night our new child.
Yes.
Each dog has their own bed. Remember when we turned around and saw them both laying together in the same bed? Wasn't that so cute?
It was very, very cute. I'm not sure that Holly, the dog we've had with us so long, liked somebody joining her in bed.
I think she looked around, was kind of wondering about it, but yeah. Did she? She was okay with it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are now a family of 4. We used to be a family of 3, but we're growing. Glad Bandit is with us, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's a sweet dog.
All right, dear friends. Thanks for putting up with our prattle front and back end on the show. We hope you enjoy Catholic Vitamins. Go over to iTunes. Give us a review. If you want to take a guess at the vitamin for next time, 206-350-3789 or catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Yes, dear. Yes.
Please go to iTunes and give us a review.
Okay, yes. All right. Bye, everybody.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
Virgin Mary, help me, help me. Pure is Virgin Mary, teach me, teach me. Pure is Virgin Mary.